I invite you to open up to James chapter 1. We're going through James, and we're in chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 this morning. And while you're turning there, wonder if you heard just back in October that David Green, who's the founder of Hobby Lobby, he has a personal net worth of around $14 billion. I don't know if you heard, but back in October, he made the announcement that he's giving his company away, that he's putting it into a trust that's going to be used to continue the business and for the good that it does, including the employees that are employed in it, and then also for support of various ministries. And so he's given his company away. He talks in his announcement letter how he regards himself as a steward of God's gifts. He understands that. And he wrote this in his announcement. He said, quote, "In the mid-1980s, I went through a period where I'd grown proud, thinking that I had the Midas touch, and I nearly lost the business. God had to show me that he was the one who granted success. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18 that it's God who gives us the power to make wealth," close quote. Now, what would you say is the boast of David Green's heart? His money? His accomplishments, the business that he built, or his God? You see, as we're about to read in James, the heart of the matter about our relationship with money is a matter of boasting. It's a matter of boasting. And one of the things that James does that we see, and of course, it's just like his half-brother Jesus, our Lord, he talks about the inside-out nature of our lives. That out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, that good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit, that there's this inside-outness to our lives, and those of us who have been redeemed and born again have been made new inside, and the outside reflects that, and he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So there's growth in that, there's sanctification in that, and there's this inside out, and so we can see this in relating to money as well, as James is going to tell us that whether we have money or don't, the heart issue is one of boasting. And so let's go ahead and read the passage. If you're able, I invite you to rise for the reading of God's Word here from James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Money is an instrument that can be used for good. But it's also highly dangerous and destructive to anyone who would serve it as a master. And money is one of life's tests that exposes the trust and treasure of our hearts. Who or what are we trusting in? In whom or what do we find security? What is it that we treasure most? Money, as James has already been talking about in context about the trials that we face, wealth is one of those trials. You may not think about having a lot of money as a trial, but it is. It's easy to think about not having a lot of money as a trial, but having a lot of money as well, what do trials do? Well, they prove and improve our faith. They expose the heart. Trials test the heart. They show what's within. And so having a lot of money is a kind of trial, as well as, of course, not having a lot of money is a kind of trial. And James has been talking about trials and engaging trials with wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above. And so shining in the trials, having our faith proven as well as improved by trials. And so as I mentioned, money's an instrument that can be used for good, but it's highly dangerous and destructive to anyone who would serve it as a master, who would make an idol out of it, who would make it a false god rather than a gift to be used to the glory of God. And so money is one of life's tests that exposes the trust and treasure of our hearts. And it's something we need to be on guard about. Jesus, remember, he said in Luke 12:15, he said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Close quote. So the abundance or lack of possessions in our lives tests our hearts. It tests what or whom we treasure most, what or whom we trust in, and what or whom we boast in. And so James says in verse 9, he says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." See, we who are believers in Christ, we treasure God most. We trust in Him. We boast in Him. And he turns to the lowly brother, and he says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." Now, the word for lowly here isn't the typical term for poor, although in context it clearly indicates the poor in contrast with the rich. So he goes on and contrasts the lowly with the rich, verse 10, and the rich in his humiliation. So in context, it's clear that he has in mind the poor in contrast to the rich. This word for lowly is defined as humble, lowly, downcast, or timid. It's the adjective of the noun that's used later in verse 10 where it says, "and the rich in his humiliation," or lowliness is another way you could translate that. It's the same root word. It's used as an adjective in verse 9 and then as a noun in verse 10, but it's the same root word. And so he says, "Let the poor, the lowly," and poor, but I think, you know, by the word and by extension, while poor is the focus of the referent in contrast with rich, it's also by extension concerns lowliness, not just with regard to material possessions, but also with regard to other things like status or class or position or ability or age. There's many different ways that people are lowly, not just in terms of financial resources of wealth. And so I think by extension, James has in mind lowliness in these other categories as well, things like status and class and positions, ability, age. And there's a temptation for the lowly to seek to boast in what they do not have. And so James tells the lowly here, the poor, he says, "Let the poor brother boast in his exaltation." You know, money can be an idol both to those who have it as well as those who don't. There are those who don't have money that are serving money as if it were a god, and there's those that do have money that are serving money as if it were a god, both enslaved to the idol, the false god of money. So Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10, aware of the danger that comes with regard to money. He says in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10 this, he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." And so, like Jesus said, to be aware, warned us against the danger of covetousness. So Paul says, James says, "Let the lowly boast in his exaltation," not seek to boast in wealth or in trying to sustain him or herself. What does James say that the lowly brother is to boast in? He says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." Now, this word boast means to boast, to brag about, to rejoice in or glory in. And so the boast and glory of our hearts as believers is the Lord and His grace. And James says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." Remember how Mary in the Magnificat, and so we're in Christmas time, Mary in the Magnificat, after she was chosen by God to be the mother who would bear the Messiah, so the mother of the Messiah according to his flesh, she was the mother of the Savior. She was chosen for this. I mean, if you think of what a privilege it was for Mary to be chosen to bear the Son of God, who became incarnate in her womb, and then and came to save the world. What a high position of privilege Mary was given. Now we know Mary was poor, and she was young, and she was in a society being a young lady who many thought was guilty of unfaithfulness in getting pregnant. She also faced difficulty in the shame that would be ascribed to her, which wasn't hers because she was, of course, faithful in that. But it was a difficult road for Mary. And listen, though, to the boast of her heart after she was chosen and she visited her cousin Elizabeth. In Luke 1:46-55, this is Mary's song of praise called the Magnificat. Verse 46 and following. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And so here Mary one of the lowly, her boast was in the Lord and his grace, in the song of magnifying the Lord that issued forth from her soul was one of glorying and of boasting in the Lord, and the exaltation in his grace that he had given to her. And so the boast of the Christian is in God and his grace to us, not in ourselves or our abilities or our accomplishments. We are beggars who boast in our supplier and our Savior. We are needy. He has exalted us. So our boast is in him. And so James calls the lowly brother to boast in his exaltation. And what is this exaltation? Another way to translate that word exaltation is high position. So the lowly brother to boast in his high position or his exaltation. Well, what is this that these lowly brothers have? Well, can you think of anything higher than the fact that for us, anything higher, literally, than the fact that we who share James' faith, he calls these brothers, lowly brothers, so these are Christians that he's speaking of, that we who share James' faith in Jesus are beloved, redeemed sons of God and co-heirs with Christ, in whom we have every spiritual blessing, even as we await full possession of our inheritance. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, for example. Look at a couple verses in chapter 1. Ephesians 1:3, Paul says this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then jump down to verse 14. "Who," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "who is the guarantee of our inheritance." So we who are believers in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We're co-heirs with Christ. We who are in Christ and have the Holy Spirit as the down payment and guarantee of our inheritance to come, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ already, and we await the possession of our inheritance, which is ours by rights in Christ in the heavenly places, the full possession of that the Holy Spirit we already have as down payment. We await that and will receive that as sons of God. Think of Galatians 4:4-7. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You cannot literally think of anything more exalted and higher than that for us as being sons of God. And inheritors of the world to come, of glory, co-inheritors of with Christ. There is no higher standing or position or exaltation for us than that. That is as high as it gets. God Himself, the Father, as our Father, in Christ, who is our brother, filled with the Holy Spirit, brought into as creatures, though not becoming, of course, the Creator, but brought into fellowship and unity with the Creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the inheritance of the world to come, the glories to come that is already ours in the heavenly places, that we await its full coming into full possession of it. And we stand now as sons, beloved, redeemed sons of God. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, in his high position. You think of the richest, think of Elon Musk, or the richest, let's say that Elon Musk was 5 billion times more wealthy than he was. You think of all the riches of this world, and that doesn't even come close to what the lowliest believer has in Christ, to what we have in Christ as the lowliest believer. So James says, don't get caught up in the covetousness of wealth. Don't fall into the trap of serving the false god of money. He says, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, that this is what the boast of our heart, this is what our trust is in the Lord and His grace, and our boast is in Him and His grace. Not all the riches and privileges of the world can come even close to this that we have and wait for in Christ. So are you God's son or daughter this morning? You know, you become one through faith in Christ. Paul said this in Galatians 3:26. He said, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. So all of us who are in Christ Jesus by faith are sons of God and co-heirs with Christ and have the Holy Spirit as the down payment living within us. This position, this high position that we have is infinitely greater than all the riches and positions of this world. And as God's sons and daughters, we don't need to be anxious about our needs like food or drink or clothing. For as Jesus said in Matthew 6:32-33, He said, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As sons, we're heirs of the world to come. And as sons, we have the reassurance that our Heavenly Father is going to provide what we need for what He's given us in this life, for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. And so there's a great rest rather than being anxious and rather than arrogantly trying to boast in ourselves or our wealth. The lowly exaltation that the grace of God gives us, the humility that we are beggars to grace, and the exaltation that He has shown us such grace that He has given us to be sons of God. And He who is our Father will provide for what we need in this life, as He knows we need it for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. And so we, as sons and daughters of the living God, don't need to be anxious, nor should we be caught up in covetousness either. And so he goes on, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. Now, one of the hardest interpretive matters in James is at this point, and it is whether to take the rich here, so the rich, the phrase that he uses there in verse 10, whether to take this as elsewhere in James chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, and chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. In those places, it is clear that the rich are categorically unbelievers. And so one of the hardest interpretive points in the book of James is James using that phrase, the rich, in this section, as for unbelievers only, like he does in chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, and chapter 5, verses 1 through 6? Or Is he using it to speak of here in the rich boasting their humiliation in comparison with the lowly brother to speak of Christian rich, brothers who are rich? As I say, it's the one of the hardest interpretive matters in James because of how he uses the rich elsewhere and because of how in verse 10 he leaves off the phrase brothers from rich. However, I think that it is speaking of Christian rich here in 10, called to boast in his humiliation, because of how you have what's an elliptical construction. So whichever way you go on that interpretive matter, you use ellipsis. That is, that you provide something from the line before to complete the flow of the verse in verse 10. So look at this. It says, "And the rich in his humiliation." If you think that it's speaking of rich unbelievers there, you would say you would provide boast from the line before. "And the rich boast in his humiliation." If you think that it is believers, you provide the ellipsis of brother boast, so that it reads, "And let the rich brother boast in his humiliation." I think it reads more naturally that the ellipsis is brother boast, that he doesn't repeat brother boast because he's just said it in verse 9, and this is an elliptical construction, and so that I think we should read it, "And the rich brother boast in his humiliation." So as I say, this is one of the most complicated interpretive matters in James, but like I say, I think that it is speaking here of the rich brother boast in his humiliation. And so this is a command to Christians who have wealth. We know that there were some in the assembly who had wealth. If you look at chapter 2, we see James giving instruction about those who come into the assembly wearing a gold ring and fine clothing. And then later in chapter 2, where he says in verses 14 and through 15, he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them," so these are brothers, "and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" And so these are brothers and sisters who have resources to help other brothers and sisters who don't. So we know that there are those in the community that James is writing to that have wealth. And so here I think in chapter 1, verse 10, I do think that it's referring to rich brothers who are to boast in his humiliation there in verse 10. And so they are called, it is a matter of boasting for the rich Christian as well as the poor Christian, a matter of boasting well, of boasting rightly in relation to the money that you either have or do not have. Here the rich are to boast in their humiliation or lowliness. As I already mentioned, that word humiliation or lowliness is the noun for the adjective that he used to describe the lowly brother in verse 9. The lowly brother. Here he says, "Let the rich boast in his lowliness and his humiliation. Let the rich boast in his humiliation." Well, then he goes on and he says, "Because like a flower of grass, he will pass away." I've got this hibiscus tree, a little plant, kind of outside our house, really pretty. These beautiful pink blooms, they blossom, they last for like maybe a day or two, and then they wither and fall up on the ground. They're really short-lived, but they're beautiful right there, but you look at it, and that doesn't last very long. And so here, James, in verse 10, he says, in speaking about this boasting in humiliation, he says, "Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes, so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." And so this humiliation that the rich is called to in verse 10 is elaborated on in comparison to a flower that blooms, is beautiful, and then fades, passes away. As Psalm 49:16-17 says of the rich man, he says, "For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him." Now, a striking reminder of this, and somebody that I know, a family friend, very wealthy, died, $20 million sort of thing. And he died and left that all behind. And when I think about him, one of the things that most people who think about, because he was one who was not, he seemed to consider his money made him better than other people, and he treated other people arrogantly and demeaningly oftentimes. And this is kind of how he's remembered. He left all that wealth, and he has this legacy among many who remembered him like that. And so it's a vivid sort of like, because that's not all there was to him, but because I know that about him, it strikes me how quickly and faded his life was, and he left all his money behind, and he also left a particular sort of legacy or obituary behind in his life as well. Psalm 49:16-17, as it says of the rich man, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. You know, I think of the parable Jesus tells about the rich fool who said, you know, I'm going to build bigger barns and store it there. He says, your life is demanded of you, and whose will your possessions be? You think of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus, the Lord is my helper, and the rich man who did not have faith in the Lord, and it was shown in his life, and he left all that behind, and was then in misery in the afterlife. How fleeting our lives are, like flowers that fade and pass away. And so either we're going to be here when Christ returns, or we'll have died and then go to be with him in heaven and then be raised when he returns. Either way, these lives on this earth are so short and so fleeting, like a flower that blooms and passes away. And one of the points of this comparison with the flower in regard to the humiliation, so the rich brother boast, exalt, glory in his lowliness and his humiliation, what does that mean? Well, he's like a flower that fades. The rich brother can't supply or sustain his own life or keep his possessions, nor can he deliver himself from death. You see, like the lowly brother, the rich is utterly dependent on the Lord for his supply and salvation. As James says later in chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" You see, whatever good gifts that we have, it's a gift from our Heavenly Father. And our lives are fleeting. We don't sustain ourselves. That's part of the point of the illustration of the flower. The rich man can have all the possessions in the world. He can't sustain his life. And when he dies, he's going to be separated from that wealth. And he doesn't have the resources of himself to overcome death. And so the rich brother is utterly dependent on the grace of the Lord. What lowliness, what humiliation is that a man can have all the possessions of the world and yet they can't keep themselves from dying and being separated from their wealth. They can't sustain themselves. They can't supply themselves life, and they can't keep possession of what they have. And so there should be no arrogance or sense of superiority or self-sustenance here for the rich brother and his heart. Let him boast in his dependence on the Lord. Let him boast in his humiliation, his need of the Lord, who is his sustainer and savior. Let his boast, like the lowly brother, be in the Lord and his grace, not in ourselves or in what we try to accomplish or achieve. Let his boast, as with the lowly brother, boast in the Lord. As Paul says, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so just like the lowly, the humble boast of the rich brother must be in the Lord and his grace. Now you may not be boasting in your wealth this morning, but is your boast in your abilities or accomplishments or achievements rather than in God and His grace. Maybe you don't have much money, but you've got a family that you could be proud of. You've invested a lot of your time into raising a family, and they've turned out very well in many regards. And so maybe your sense of ultimate boast isn't in the possessions that you don't have, but in your family that turned out so well, or maybe in your reputation that in the community, you're a pillar of the community. You might not have much in other ways, but you've got a reputation, or maybe you've got a degree, or maybe multiple degrees. You went to school, you worked hard, you've got a degree. Well, whatever you have, can you see the grace of God in that? As it's written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Whatever it is that we look at, degree, accomplishment, all these things that are other than the Lord and His grace, we should not be finding our boast in that. That's not to boast in. In fact, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. You know, I have a degree, and you say, well, how did you get that? Ah, well, you see, I got your point there. It was, I had an upbringing and support of many people, financial and otherwise, and God-given abilities. I can't lay claim to those, and opportunity to get it. So I understand that yes, there's I do have to tip my hat to God, ultimately. But, you know, I did work really hard for it. I applied myself. I worked really hard. I recall Paul saying something similar to that in 1 Corinthians 15:10. I worked harder than any of them. Well, you see, I did work hard, although I wouldn't go so far as to say I worked harder than all of them, but Paul and I do seem to be singing from the same hymn book here. I worked hard. I worked hard, and you say, well, not to poo-poo your hard work, but to put it in proper perspective. Do you remember how the verse finishes? Let's see if I can remember it. Yes, it says, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Right. So, degree holder, family man, community pillar, rich person, hard worker, what is your boast? The grace of God. Right. The grace of God. Lowly brother or rich brother, what's your boast? It's in God, who's our sustainer, who is our Savior. You see, Paul, and so then when our boast is right, then we use money well. You see, wealth is one of those tests that reveals our heart. What is it that we trust in? What is it that we treasure? Where do we think that our sustenance comes from? You see, the Lord is the boast of our heart, lowly brother or rich brother. And so that then we boast in Him, we glory in Him, and want Him glorified and serve Him. As Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either love one and or despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But we who are saved, who are in Christ, whether we have wealth or not, God is our God. So our boast is in the Lord. And of course, what we boast in makes a difference in what we do, in how we live. The boast of our hearts will be seen in the course of our lives. This is the inside-out flow that we see. Think of Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And James, this is one of the big emphases in James that you see in chapter 1 and following, is that out of the overflow of the heart, the life is lived. And the boast of our hearts will be seen in the course of our life. If we're boasting in money, whether we have it or not, that's going to produce a certain kind of life. If we're boasting in the Lord, whether we have money or not, that's going to issue forth in a certain kind of life and fruit. And James knows that it works in this inside-out way, and so this is part of the reason why he's so emphatic on hitting on the issue of boasting in relation to the test of wealth, to approach it and shine in the test in wisdom by boasting in the Lord, in the exaltation that He has given to us, and in our humiliation that we are ultimately and utterly dependent on Him and His grace. So we are humbled and exalted as we boast in God and His grace. And so then our life is one that issues out of that boast in a desire to glorify the one in whom we are glorying in. And so that our lives as believers bear witness, you know, or give evidence of the boasts of our hearts. And so what would your obituary say about how how you boast. And what is the boast of your heart? Specifically this morning in regard to the test of wealth. Sinclair Ferguson tells about a friend of his who was a seminary professor. And as a seminary professor, the first assignment that he would give his students on day one in the class was that he would have them show up and he'd give them all a blank sheet of paper. And he would say, you have the rest of the class hour to write your obituary. And then he would leave. And Sinclair Ferguson said, can you see the wisdom in that? You know, have you thought about your obituary? How you want, and you know, I mentioned that the man who had much wealth, but sort of the obituary in many ways that he left, his legacy in life, was one of mean-spiritedness and arrogance toward people. Then you think of somebody like David Greene. And what kind of obituary is he writing, so to speak, as evidence of the boast of his heart? And so it's a good exercise for us to think, what is it that we're boasting in? What is it that we're glorying in? As believers, our boast and our glory is the Lord, who is our sustainer, our Savior. And how are our lives then giving evidence of that boast? And evidence that's going to be left behind and testify as well to what our heart is boasting in. And so, whether we have much or whether we don't, let us, brothers and sisters, boast in the Lord and His grace and use what He has given to us, whatever it may be, for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank You for Your grace. We recognize that we are utterly dependent on You. We can't sustain our lives. Even our hard work that You call us to, we ultimately attribute to Your grace, like Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10. And so, Lord, You're the boast of our hearts. You're the boast of our lives. We're utterly dependent on You for salvation. All good gifts come from You. And so, God, may we in our hearts grow in our boast of You, such that then anxiety is put to rest because we know we serve a Father who cares for us more than the sparrows and the lilies. And You're going to provide what we need. It may not be the riches of the world, but You know what we need. And pray that You would encourage us in the exaltation, the inheritance that far goes beyond the riches of the world that we have in Christ, that is true of us, that we are heirs and we will come into possession of it. And may we boast in You in this life, in the next, and always, glorying You, boasting You, and so then live lives of generosity and live lives of glorifying You in how we use and relate to wealth and the position of our hearts as we rest in You. May that quell the anxieties that sometimes wealth can bring about, as well as the trigger, as well as the arrogance that we would be resting in You and so humble and exalted in You and humbled in You, who is our giver of life, our sustainer, our Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.